You can donate online at any time. Visit kpfk.org. That's kpfk.org. And we thank you for your support.
This is Mumia Abu-Jamal, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and 98.7 Santa Barbara.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and the owner of not one but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Good to be here again with you to talk about cars and get everyone up to speed.
Cars, coffee, and conundrums. That's what we're all about. And this week, we are happy to welcome back our semi-regular co-host, former editor of Super Street. I think he was former editor of Super Street. He was there, man. He was there during the scene, during the import scene. Former executive at Kelley Blue Book, owner of more cool cars than almost anyone we know, except maybe Bruce Meyer. Executive analyst at iccars.com. Carl Brower. Welcome, Carl.
Hey, I should have been the editor at Super Street. Let's just put it that way. They didn't recognize my greatness at the time, but they figured it out eventually. Don't worry.
We recognize it, and we welcome you.
So, happy to have you here again.
Thank you for welcoming me and including me in the show, guys. Always fun.
It is always a blast, and we are going to blast right through into the calendar section because we only have 58 minutes here, and we've already used up two of them. So starting right off, last week, as you recall, we had the co-chair of the La Jolla Concours d'Elegance, Michael Dorvilliere. You could just say Dorvilliere or, you know, however you say his name. Michael is not listening because right now he is down there walking on the lawn at the La Jolla Concours, desperately trying to make sure everything is set up and perfect. But we spoke to him last week, learned the lowdown, the lay of the land for that wonderful show. I have never been, Carl has never been, but Michelle, you've been to the La Jolla Concours, haven't you?
Several times, yes. I used to live in San Diego before I came up here to live behind the orange curtain. It's a wonderful event. It's very low key. You know, San Diego is low key. It's not pretentious and, over the top. But you do need to dress appropriately.
Did you have a big hat?
Yes, of course. I always bought a new dress for that every time. But I made a mistake the first year. I went in jeans and a t-shirt.
But were the other ladies catty about it? Were they?
I don't know.
Oh, they might have been.
I didn't mind what they said.
Okay.
I noticed what everyone else was wearing, and that was enough humiliation. So there, I didn't need any further.
New dress, new hat.
One of my favorite pictures of myself is from that first time, and unfortunately, I wasn't wearing something nice. I was in front of all the Porsches, all these vintage Porsches. And Mark Maynard took that picture of me standing there at the edge of the show where it drops off right into the ocean. It's these cliffs that go straight down into the Pacific. So the fog had just lifted, and there was me in my white shirt and my black jeans with all the colored Porsches like Skittles behind me, and then the ocean. And I love that picture.
Excellent picture taken by Mark Maynard, former automotive editor at the San Diego Union Tribune, we might point out. Good buddy of ours, now retired. If you want to go, you can actually go tonight, Saturday night, down there at in La Jolla is something called Porsches and Power on Prospect. Now, Prospect is a street that goes right up from the scene of the La Jolla Concours. That is going on tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. It is free.
So if you're anywhere down there, go check it out. Sounds like fun. And then tomorrow, Sunday, is the Concours from 9 to 4. They have various packages of entry that you can pay for. I think general admission is $119. So it's fun. And the website is what? LaJollaConcours.com, I think, right, Michelle?
It is.
Excellent.
And the prices might be a little higher if you don't buy in advance and you just buy at the door. But usually they do have passes available at the door.
Okay.
And I want to do the Porsche thing. That sounds cool and it's free. I need to go down there in my Porsche.
Yes. Carl has a Porsche Turbo, everybody. He has a bunch of other cars and we hate him.
So. And I don't want to mince words, but I mean, it's actually a Turbo S. But anyways, keep going, Mark.
I got a ride in it.
You got like the first ride, and I just bought the thing. You were like, it's a great ride.
It is a great car.
Carl, you didn't put him in the boot.
I belong in the frunk. All right. If you cannot afford or do not want to attend all the way down in La Jolla for the La Jolla Concours, and you're up in Los Angeles tomorrow, Sunday, April 27th, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., Japanese car cruise-in at the Peterson Museum. This is one of the biggest gatherings of Japanese cars. They're getting more or less, more and more legitimized on the collector car scene. Some concours, some museums have had exhibits on Japanese cars. As we know, when Carl was not editor of Super Street, he was very much aware of the Japanese import car scene. That is what is being celebrated at the Peterson Automotive Museum tomorrow, and that is at the corner of Wilshire and Fairfax. You cannot miss it. There will be, I don't know how many hundred cars there. They will probably all be pretty cool. All JDM legends spanning several floors of the Peterson Car Garage. And yes, Michelle.
What? I was hearing 300. And they sent out a thing that said, get your registrations done because we're almost sold out.
Ooh,
so they will have about 300 JDM cars.
That could mean they're almost sold out. It could mean they have, I don't, who knows?
Well, I'm going to take them at their word, unlike you.
And, believe nothing.
And get your rotaries out, folks. Go up there and show off your rotaries.
Doritos. That's what you got.
Are you gonna be there, Michelle? Are you going?
I didn't plan on it, but
I got Chitars that could go.
Yeah, I have two cars, right? I could go with you. You want to hop in one of them and I'll take the other? Yeah.
Go back to my Super Street stomping grounds. Kind of cool.
It would be
cool.
So yeah, you get the Miata. How's that?
And as long as we're talking about the cruising Japanese classic car cruising at the Peterson tomorrow, remember, put on your calendars, June 28th is Toyota Fest, the annual gathering at Marina Green Park in Long Beach. And as long as you have your calendar out, the Japanese classic car show is October 11th. So keep that stuff in mind. Now, if you, for some reason, do not want to go to the Peterson, what is wrong with you? I don't know. But there is another Japanese car show gathering, Mr. Terry and Friends Cars and Coffee, from 11 to 2 at a, it's actually a place called B&C Teriyaki. It's a little like a restaurant, but sort of like the old drive-ins from the 50s where all the kids went to hang out. This is at 901 West Foothill Boulevard in Monrovia. So Monrovia is in the San Gabriel Valley, which many could say, you could argue, was the birthplace of the so-called import scene that gave us, among other things, Vin Diesel. Thank you, import scene. We would be lost without you.
Even though he had a Charger?
Well, the Charger was later. Remember, he had the Honda Civics first.
Oh, the RX-7. The first thing you see of it is a last-gen RX-7.
In that Veilstide?
Carl knows.
The Veilstide one?
That was my era. Don't mess with me on night. They're at imports.
All right. So, RX-7 Civic and then the Charger.
Yeah, the Charger came. Remember, the Charger was his dad's car.
Dan. He was too scared to drive it.
Wow.
Then he had to chase down the bad guys, and it was time to let go. He got in it to chase the bad guys down.
We could talk about Fast and Furious forever, including how they ripped off my articles on the import scene from Auto Week and base the two characters on the... Okay, this is a whole different subject. Well,
done. Sue them. You need to sue them.
I need to sue them. I do. But Brian and the Paul Walker and the Vin Diesel character are based on two real people from the import scene, one of whom our good buddy Steph Papadakis is still running a Formula Drift team, still has a bald head. Sadly, the other guy, Sean Carlson, passed away several years ago, but he looked just like Brian in Fast and Furious. See, we've gone down a rabbit hole. It's all we do on this show.
And by the way, just so you know, I happen to know who the kind of rival gang guys on the motorcycles was based off of too.
Aww. Like, do you guys, are you going to share that? You're going to share that with?
Well, I don't know if he's still around, but I'm going to get his last name wrong, but it was easy to remember his first name. Viet Long. It sounded like Vietnam, but it was Viet Long or something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he was I never had a problem with him and stuff, but I had all the other guys when I was at all of these events and I'd see him and we talked a couple times and they were like, oh yeah, man, watch out for him. Like, he's a good guy at these events and everything, but he's got some scary claims to fame in the
was other he the guy or so he was the bad guy in that movie series, and he was the guy who's at the family dinner, his dad slaps him.
Mm-hmm. And the guy's on the motorcycle and stuff like that, because he's like supposed to be kind of upscale, but he's doing stuff on the underworld.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have spent 5 minutes talking about the Fast and Furious franchise. I think that is a car show record. But it's Carl Brower's fault. He was there. Well, I was there too, man. I was there.
You inspired it, dude. I just had to ride your coattails and get a job in a magazine that covered it.
Okay, we're on to 6 minutes talking about Fast and Furious and the airport.
Clearly, that's a future show. We're going to have a one-hour show on Fast and Furious.
Just Carl and I.
Future car show.
Credit for the import seat and the Fast and Furious franchise. That's what we're.
And you can tell by our net worths, right?
So your net worth, dude, you've got a Porsche Turbo S. Okay. Anyway, one last thing I want to throw in. No, we've got a couple more things to throw in here. May 4th. So let's move forward 1 week. The thing that you want to see for sure and is also free, May 4th, Concorso Ferrari 2025 in Old Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard. It is really fun. There are probably about 100-something Ferraris lined up. They shut down Colorado Boulevard there in Old Town. I think it's two or three blocks worth of that. And it is back, and it is on the street. It went away for a while. It's back now. It is a blast. Sometimes they have really cool, you never know what's going to be there. In years past, there was a guy who had an actual Formula One car, Ferrari, and he had it out there right in the middle of the street, and he would let kids climb into it and sit in it. And every time a kid climbed in there, you could see those little tiny rearview mirrors on those things. I just let somebody's kind of lock one of those off. They never did. There are Bruce Meyer has brought his Testarossa there in the past. We don't know what's going to be there this year. It might just be blocks and blocks of 355s. Who knows? But if it's not to disparage the 355, it is a great car. But that is May 4th, Concorso Ferrari. Old Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard. It is free. It's most of the day there. And then, hey, we got more. We got a lot of calendar items here, and we have time to talk about them, right?
We do.
There's a thing called the Reunion Car and Motorcycle Show that I put in here just because this is also happening May 4th from 10 to 4. It is happening at Valley Relics Museum on Stagg Street in Los Angeles, STAGG. I think that's like a block long. So just type that into your what do you call that? The nav that the kids are using on their cars now. Type that into the nav and it'll take you right there. Valley Relics Museum. It's in the museum, or to get in the museum, you have to have a ticket. So be prepared. I tried to figure out the ticket thing through Eventbrite. I came up with a price of $18.91, which makes no sense at all. So maybe there'll be a charge, maybe there won't. But this is May 4th from 10 to 4 at Valley Relics Museum. I've never been there and I want to go. Have you guys ever been?
Mm-mm.
Yep.
No, that's unfamiliar to me, but it sounds pretty cool.
There's like neon and old signs and just all kinds of cool stuff that I don't know enough about it to comment intelligently. Not that I can comment intelligently on anything. But and then also Sunday, May 4th, Carl is also an expert in this area. Classic Chevys of Southern California is holding their 42nd annual charity car show Sunday, May 4th from 7 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Rancho San Antonio Boys Home, 21000 Plummer Street, Plummer, not like the guy who comes and fixes your sink, Plummee, but Plummer Street, Chatsworth, California, Sunday, May 4th, 42nd annual Classic Chevys of Southern California Car Show, presented by Rydell Chevrolet. Now, wow. Little bit of trivia, Rydell, the guy who owns that and the other dealerships, won the America's Most Beautiful Roadster show once with a Chevy. Usually that trophy goes to Ford's, and he entered and won with a Chevy. Very polite gentleman. I spoke to him for quite a while after he won, and actually before he won. So
Was he the inspiration for Rydell High?
In the movie.
Yeah, in the
Grease, in which I was an extra when I was in high school. I did that during the bonfire scene. Huh. I was an extra in that movie. And some of the guys, I went with a bunch of my friends. They needed high school students. We were all in high school. So we went down. I got $100 a night. That was real money back then in 1970, whatever it was.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep. My best work wound up on the cutting room floor. Okay, only a couple more minutes here. Let's see. Sunday, May 4th. Also, motor cars on Main Street. This one I like just because it had a really cool poster. That's in Coronado. That's San Diego. So you have to go over the bridge into the town of Coronado.
Yes.
Sunday, May 4th from 10 to 3 in Coronado on Main Street. Motor cars on Main Street. Obviously, it's on Main Street, I'm assuming.
And it's super cool. I've stumbled upon this when I lived in San Diego. This is a great car show. And it's all free. Yeah, there's so many little places to eat lunch and get ice cream and stuff after. So just park somewhere, walk around all day.
Excellent. Excellent. So many great things that you could do. Also, 2 weeks out, Quail Moto Fest is Saturday, May 17th up in Carmel. I'm going to be riding an Indian Super Chief up there. That is my plan right now.
Oh, yeah?
We'll see how that plan works, but we'll see. Last year, I rode up on a Moto Guzzi, and it rained like crazy. Luckily, I had Dionysi gear, and I was, didn't bother me at all. I was quite happy.
You didn't wear a wetsuit?
Not a wetsuit. But it is Gore-Tex outfit, and I was quite happy.
Okay.
All right. So let's jump right over because we have so much to talk about. Or should we say something about Carroll Shelby Tribute and Car Show?
Yeah. Yeah, we should. This is another event down here at the Segerstrom Shelby Event Center in Irvine. And if you are interested, you do not have to have a Shelby, but it's the Carroll Shelby Tribute and Car Show on Saturday, May 17th. It's going to be from 9 to 1 p.m. It's at 5 Watney in Irvine, which is just east of the 5 off Sand Canyon. And they're going to have people that you might know who are in attendance. Gary Patterson, Aaron Shelby, and Tracy Smith will be there. And this is sponsored by Team Shelby Pacific Coast Region and Shelby American. They are celebrating 60 years of Shelby history. If you'd like to show your Shelby, you can pay $60 and get it registered and show it off. If you would like to spectate, you can just show up because it's free. But the registration funds will benefit the California Fire Foundation for the wildfire victims.
Excellent.
And they have an email address, not a website. So here it is. If you want to register, DaveGT500@iCloud.com.
Excellent. That's a great web address. And one final item. Benedict Castle Concours, May 18th in Riverside is the Car Guys Car Show. Now, they say that, and then all the car, what would you say, gals, the females, the ladies, they get upset. Hey, man, this shouldn't be the Car Guys Car Show. Okay, we'll call it the Car Enthusiast Car Show. How about that? Benedict Castle Concours and Car Show. They have all kinds of stuff out there. They have hot rods, muscle cars, exotics. They have some JDM cars, trucks. They have everything. That's going to be at 5445 Chicago Avenue, Riverside. That's May 18th. So that's a little bit farther out. And we might even get somebody from that show to come on and tell us about it.
Yeah, the McGuire's sponsor that, right?
McGuire's, yeah. Barry and Karen McGuire are the co-grand marshals of the show this year.
All right.
All right, right into the news, almost on time. Had Carl and I not spent 5 minutes claiming credit for the Fast and Furious and the import scene, we could have gotten to this sooner. Okay, the news section. Okay, the first item is something that came up, and I didn't know when to jump onto this merry-go-round of news about Willow Springs. As you may have heard, perhaps you have not heard, type in Auto Week and Willow Springs, and you'll see my story at autoweek.com about this. Willow Springs has a new owner. Believe it or not, one of the Cross Harbor Capital Partners is the main owner, but they also listed as an owner is Singer Vehicle Design. Those are the guys who reimagined the Porsches, and they have purchased it, and they are claiming they are going to, their goal is ensuring the preservation and future of California's oldest permanent road course. Upgrades are planned. I asked whether that meant, are they going to turn it into a thermal where you have your million-dollar condos all around the outside? They said they have not decided yet. But they are promising to make it a better, better place. So,
well, as long as it stays open, isn't that half the battle, right?
That is half the battle.
And then the other half is staying affordable. We'll see if we lose that. Yeah. But yes, at least right. It's going to not turn into it might turn into condos, but it'll be condos next to a track, not just condos. So.
That's true. Yeah, right. They're not going to, rest assured, they are telling us there are no plans to bulldoze anything. So the track will remain. In fact, all the tracks will remain. I think there's something like 8 tracks out there. There's
off-road.
It's a Willow. Horse Thief Mile. There's that parking lot where the drifters practice, and it goes on and on. So Willow Springs, yay, supposedly what they're saying so far. In good
life. Yes.
Dave.
Yay.
Yay. All right. So next, I was just at the New York Auto Show. I have just got back, and my arms are tired. I am here to tell you it was quite an interesting show. I had only been to one previous New York International Auto Show. I assume, Carl, I know you've been, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been to more than one, that's for sure. But it has been a while. I just haven't been able to get back there these last couple of years. But I know it's been active again. It looked like more was going on there than I anticipated would be going on there, Mark. That's
yeah, I thought the same thing, that it was surprising how much was happening there to me.
There was a lot going on. I was indeed, like you guys, surprised. It's not quite like the auto show is back, but it's like the New York show never left us and is still viable. There were new car reveals. There were a lot of journalists there. It wasn't quite as crazy as, Frankfurt Auto Show in the 80s or something, where Mercedes spends millions of dollars building an entire, edifice to show off all their cars, test tracks and all that. But it was good. In fact, they had 4 test tracks there where consumers, when they showed up for the show, could get a ride in a Jeep and a couple of other things. I think Ford had a Bronco going up one of those cool ramp looking things. I was there through the largesse of Genesis, and Genesis had 2 reveals. They showed a GMR 001, which was a race car that they built it as a hypercar, which makes you think that you could buy one. You can't. It's an Oreca. How do you say Oreca, Carl? Oreca?
No. Orca. I thought it was like the killer whale, but maybe I'm wrong.
Orca? No. Oreca is a they make the Acura, that the Acura uses and a couple other race cars. Anyway, they are building this, and Genesis is going to race it. They had Jackie Ickx there. So they revealed this at the New York Auto Show. It looked really cool. And it's their plan is to race at Le Mans in this thing. Good luck to them. And also to race here in the States so that they're going to do European racing next year, 2026. And 2027, they're going to bring it here and race in IMSA. So that's one debut. Also, Genesis showed this X Grand Equator concept, which I don't know, man. I don't know if you guys saw any pictures of this. Go to autoweek.com. Just type in Autoweek and type Genesis X Grand Equator. And you judge for yourself. I looked at this thing. It had no face on it. It looked like a sperm whale. Can we say that on the air?
Yeah.
Shell, is that legal?
Yes.
Thank you. So anyway, it looked really gross. Subaru.
Okay. Subaru. Was it gray?
It was. It was gray. I mean, it looked just, I don't know.
It's bizarre. That's bizarre.
It is bizarre. It is really weird. And who knows what they're going to do with it. But anyway, Subaru had a couple of things. Hyundai showed off a new Palisade. There was a lot. It's all covered at autoweek.com. Go and check it out there.
I don't know, man. It looks like the coverage is pretty weak. I don't know who wrote this stuff, but whatever.
See, that's funny because I wrote it. Carl is such a... How much are we paying you to be on here, Carl?
Oh, that's right. Not enough, apparently.
Now, don't worry. I promise you a money-back guarantee if I don't do good enough. So.
And speaking of Carl, and speaking of New York and Carl, there was another announcement at the New York International Auto Show that Carl's going to tell us about. Carl.
Multiple announcements, actually. Yeah, the World Car of the Year is always announced at the New York Auto Show. That's become kind of their space to make noise about what car wins World Car of the Year. And I'm on the jury for World Car of the Year, so I get to help decide these things. And yeah, there were like seven vehicles that won things. You know, it's a pretty elaborate awards process. And includes things like designers of the year and people of the year and all that. So for instance,
did Michelle or I win person of the year? Either one of us, remember?
It was like, dude, that was voting was so close. You guys missed it by that much, as Max Smart might think.
Phase of the
year.
No, person of the year was actually Stella Lee from BYD. So who's basically helping run BYD. And if anyone deserves to be celebrated, it's whoever's running BYD right now. Yes. If you guys know, they're growing just a tiny bit every year.
Are you coming into the US?
Not if Trump can help. No, sorry. They probably will get here at some point. We're going to see what they can negotiate, but some cool cars. So like cars that everyone would have heard of who's listening to this, probably the Porsche 911 Carrera GTS, which now is a hybrid, right? That won performance car of the year. And the Volvo EX90, which is their new three-row electric vehicle, won luxury car of the year. But it was kind of a non-US market winners otherwise. So like the BYD Seagull, that's the name of the car, won world urban car, which is usually a small car. And then the Kia EV3 won overall world car of the year. And they did have that for testing in Pasadena during the voting process back in November. And I was quite impressed with that car, both what it offers and what you pay and its range and its small exterior footprint.
They're going to bring that in.
And it should be getting to the US at some point. So that was a cool car to see win World Car of the Year. But there was a lot. Oh, and the design of the year went to the Volkswagen ID Buzz. Mark and I were at the world debut when that car was shown off in Huntington Beach a couple years ago. That was when he rode in my 911 Turbo S.
I like that car. So the Genesis concept car didn't win anything. Ugliest car of
shocking.
The no face win for the no face car.
That's right. All right. And what is your title? What's your position at World Car? You're like some high ranking executive at World Car of the Year, aren't you?
No, I was a board member on North American Car of the Year, and I'm still on that jury too. But on both juries now, I'm just, the detritus. I'm just a regular journalist now or juror. Now I'm not running nothing.
So humble. He remains so humble. It's what we love about Carl.
So you've driven all these cars that were entered?
Yeah, that was the cool thing is what's cool about World Car is like North American Car, you can pretty much assume it's cars that are sold in the U.S. So there's nothing novel about going to the testing, but it's cool to test them all back to back. World Car, they bring in stuff that you never otherwise couldn't see. I mean, they had one of those like seagulls and they had, the world electric car was the Hyundai Inster, I-N-S-T-E-R. And it was also impressive. I would have never driven it without being on the jury. And I was given it points in the final ballot because it was really neat. So
could it succeed in the U.S.? Could that and the Kia EV3 and the BYD, could those things succeed in the U.S. market?
I think they could. I think, I think the EV3 is going to come here and probably, you know, upset the apple cart a little bit, because it's going to finally be that affordable, but still good electric car that we've been waiting for like 2 decades for now.
All these tariffs, because if Chinese cars are still getting socked with tariffs and that change was every hour, it's affecting our fun time with cars here in the United States.
This is true. Although it's theoretically keeping our domestic automakers safe, right, Mark? Isn't that the thinking? I don't know if that's really working.
I don't know what the thinking is. I can't tell you.
There's the proffered reason.
Right.
Then there's the backdoor, reason.
That's right.
So there's all these layers of the onion. It's your guess is as good as mine.
Good publication. Speaking of used car prices, Carl, tell us what you think about used car prices now.
So used car prices are fascinating because we look at those all the time at IC Cars where I work. It's what the site really specializes in. We cover everything, but that's kind of our special area. And they have been dropping since October of 2022 was the last time used car prices went up until last month, Mark and Michelle. First time they went up since October 22 in March of 25, just last month. And they only went up 1%, average of $317 across the country. But, it's a change in momentum. Last June, they were down 7.4%, and they were dropping between 5 and 10%, like all of 23 and first half of 24. Stabilized the second half of 24, and now here we are in March of 25, and they're going up. Now, what's causing that? Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry. No, that's that. Go ahead. That's right.
Yeah. So that's crazy. So it's like, I think there's people buying their lease cars that are stopping the supply into the used car market. There's statistics showing that. I think there's people maybe worrying about tariffs and maybe they're rushing out and starting to buy cars now because I'm not sure what's going to happen with car pricing. But in the midst of all this, electric vehicle sales prices are still tanking. They were down, 8%. $3,800 last month. So while the overall market's up, electric vehicle prices are still dropping.
And which electric vehicles are dropping the most?
Well, we looked at the cars that had the biggest drops, and the number one car with the biggest value drop from March to 24 to March to 25 was the Tesla Model S. And then the Model Y and the 3 were in the top 10 of those 20 cars that dropped the most, and the Model X was like 16. So every Tesla that was eligible, we don't put the Cybertruck in because the car has to be out for 4 years before we can start considering it in the 1 to 5 year old used car statistics. Otherwise, it's not fair. So every Tesla that was in the running to be considered made it into the top 20 cars, and the top car was the Model S, and they kind of were all over the top part of the list. And it's just, again, fascinating because, Elon's been dropping the price of his cars for like 2 years trying to maintain sales momentum. That fell short in 24, as you remember. He sold fewer cars in 24 than 23, first time that has happened to him since they started to keep a record, that his sales went down for a year. So the lower prices have run out of steam on keeping his cars moving forward. And, maybe there's some other things going on in the world out there that I'm not paying attention to that might be impacting Tesla's desirability too. I don't
know. Well, I was going to ask, do you think it's all due to just everybody hates Elon and that's why nobody's buying Teslas, or is it other things?
Well, I do think that the EV demand we saw plateauing for all EVs in the U.S., the market is not growing at the rate that everyone was saying it was going to. And so that's part problem one. And so the pie is not getting bigger. It's like topped out or at least slowed down on growth dramatically. And there's more people trying to take a piece of the pie. There's more competition for Tesla than there's ever been before. So each person person being an electric car model in the US is forced to have a smaller piece of pie because there's so many other people trying to eat that same amount of pie. So plenty of things were going on before Doge happened and Elon got involved with it that were pulling down Tesla's values. I think some things might have only added to the challenge Tesla's been having for the past year plus in the last 3 months. But he was already not going, his cars, the Tesla models, were not going in a good direction in terms of price.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And what about if people want to, are in the market to buy? Michelle has done a little bit of research on this. What's the market look like, Michelle?
Well, there are some deals that the OEMs are putting out there for people who want to buy Fords and Jeeps. Now, if you ever watch TV, have you seen these Jeep commercials? Oh boy, are they going for the Patriot market here. So if you're in the market, you can get a Jeep for the employee pricing. And they've been doing a lot of these TV ads. And the pricing is supposedly below dealer invoice. And you can save on a 2024 or 2025 hybrid, plug-in hybrid, diesel and gas-powered Ford and Lincoln. If you go to a Ford or Lincoln dealer, and then the Jeep dealers are offering these as well. The Ford is offering customers their complimentary home chargers and standard installation through June of this year only. If you act quickly, you could get a good deal on a Ford and get a charger for if you have an EV.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, the Jeep / Stellantis incentives are good through the end of April. So you have to act even faster on that.
Okay.
I'd check to see if GM would match that or try to compete with that. But Mary Barra does not want to participate in this kind of deal for their customers. So it's all, right now it's only Ford and Stellantis / Jeep, Ram, what are the other brands? Stellantis brands. I forgot. Maserati.
Alfa Romeo.
Okay. Maserati. Chrysler.
Chrysler Pacifica is.
There you go.
Once proud brand. Yeah.
There you go. So get out there if you want one of those.
Now is the time to
probably
buy.
Probably get a good deal and ask them for that employee pricing.
All right. And if it doesn't work, you can sue them. And speaking of lawsuits.
Oh, yeah.
Update us from our legal desk, Michelle. What do we have going out there in the courts?
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay. I hate to pile on for poor Tesla, but...
No, I think our listeners don't mind.
Okay. Well, just to give you my 2-cent editorial on one of the reasons why Tesla is having so much trouble is because if you think about who their customers were before the election happened... They are not the people who voted for Trump. And so they feel like they are, they're disenfranchised by all this. That's just my 2 cents. Anywho, but there is a lawsuit that was filed by a guy who lives in LA against Tesla. And this guy had a Model S. He bought it used, but when you buy a used Tesla, if it's under the 50,000 mile basic warranty, you get the warranty. It goes with the car. You don't have to have, purchase anything extra. This gentleman is named Nyree Hinton. So his lawsuit is Hinton versus Tesla. And he filed it in LA Superior Court. And the reason why this is important is because he's alleging that even though he drove the same distances in his Tesla, that he used to drive with his other cars, and he did have other cars that he kept. He experienced an accelerated amount of mileage the closer he got to that 50,000 mile mark. And he's alleging in his complaint that the mileage was so excessive that he was unable to get a repair done on the suspension because the warranty expired. And so he took it in for the suspension work. He was told it would cost $10,000 and that he was no longer covered by his warranty. And he couldn't believe it because he hadn't driven it all that much. So, anywho, he's seeking damages for this because, not only his $10,000 that he's going to have to spend to fix his car, which he, by the way, didn't fix. He towed it away and it's sitting somewhere. But he's filed this as a class action. So he's trying to get punitive damages and he's trying to get some kind of, judgment against Tesla about their work on how their odometers work, because they basically have admitted that they do not generate the odometer the traditional way, which is by each mile traveled. They use electronic predictors. So rather than relying on mechanical or electronic systems to measure the distance traveled, Tesla uses predictive algorithms, energy consumption metrics, and driver behavior multiples that misinterpret and manipulate the actual miles traveled. So that's the allegation.
Yeah. So they can, if that is true, they can skew that algorithm to their benefit. So correct. Everybody's runs out of covered claims sooner.
Don't forget something else too, which is what do we hear a lot with Tesla specifically? It seems like, well, they claimed it was this range, but when we tested it, it only covered, it's a very common that people are unhappy with the actual travel distance they get for a charge versus what Tesla says their cars travel. And of course, people are who know the distances between points, like this gentleman did when he was driving this one, they start to know, it's like, I don't care what the odometer says. I know how far I actually traveled in this car. And it wasn't, 380 miles like this thing's saying and all. It was more like 320 miles and it ran out of power and it's supposed to have a 400 mile battery. So.
Exactly. Well,
that's an EPA. The range is an EPA thing, isn't it? That's not set by the manufacturer. That's actual EPA.
Yeah, but the manufacturer, especially a car as technologically oriented as a Tesla, they could, in real time, I'm sure, Michelle probably, change, it's like, yeah, well, we're going to make our miles show up when people have really only gone 0.7 of a mile, or 0.8 of a mile and stuff. And so they're getting 20% higher odometer readings from sitting in the wheel of the car being driven. Again, yeah. I'm not saying this is happening. I'm saying if it was happening, it would explain plenty of things besides just what this gentleman's claiming. Because think about it. That makes your miles go faster for your warranty coverage, and it makes it look like you're traveling farther on a tank of battery.
And on a tank of battery. And what? Speaking of money, this just I just remembered now. This is our pledge drive, our spring fundraiser. And we really need people to support KPFK and give us. Michelle right now is going to look up the phone number that we have people call in to donate to this wonderful station, KPFK, that brings you not only the car show, but hundreds of other shows throughout your listening day. We are only on here one day a week for 1 hour. And we put all our hearts and souls into this, but there are a lot of shows here that really need your support, and we need your support to keep the broadcast beaming from high atop Mount Wilson, 110,000 watts of power. That is not cheap to do. That is like 110 hair dryers blowing constantly. That's a good analogy. In order to keep that happening, we need your support. You can do it online at kpfk.org, or you can call right now. Michelle, tell us, tell everybody the number, please, that they can call.
818-985-5735.
Excellent. Excellent. 818-985-5735. Do not sit there and think someone else is going to do this. You don't have to do your part. No, you have to do your part. We need you. We need your support. The station needs your support. And by golly, please, we're counting on you. Mm-hmm. Do your part.
Yeah. And if you have a Tesla sitting around that has a broken suspension that you don't want to repair, did you know that you can donate that to the KPFK? They will come and get it for you. And if you want, they have a tow service. You can call to their vehicle donation line. They even have a dedicated line, 877-573-5288.
What's that number?
877-573-5288 to donate a vehicle to KPFK.
Maybe I'll send the Lancia off to them.
Are you ready?
Carl, you should donate your Turbo S.
Yeah,
I think I might have to donate the Turbo S and all. It's really not got that much value anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, you get a nice tax deduction, I suppose. But yeah, that way, you don't have to worry about that odometer problem.
That's right. You don't. Just donate it. Don't fix it. Donate it to KPFK. Again, you can go to kpfk.org or you can call, Michelle.
You can call the 818-985-5735 line to make a general donation, or you can call the vehicle donation line, 877-573-5288.
All right, thank you.
And I was going to say, in this Mr. Hinton's lawsuit, Cara was mentioning about expected odometer readings. This gentleman said that he experienced over 100% increase in the miles that he tacked. And he could track them because he had taken this car in several times before the expiration of the warranty for the suspension repairs. And so they kept the records of the mileage in their computer. And there is a smoke. That's one smoking gun. And the other smoking gun, there's another one.
Yes.
You ready for this?
The patent,
the Tesla patent on their odometer system. It states that the odometer readings are not based on direct measurements of distance traveled. And that's a violation of the law.
That's it. You say it. Preach.
You can't do that. And we have a very, very solid statute in California that prohibits that kind
of thing. But isn't this, aren't we in the post-legal era where we can just ignore laws? Isn't that?
Well.
All right. Let's speak, rather than ignore laws, let's ignore, there's no good segue for this. Michelle drove last week. Honda was generous enough to lend Michelle a really cool and very practical car. What was it, Michelle?
Yeah, I had the 2025 Honda CR-V Hybrid. Uh-huh. And this is one of these hot sellers that, when I used to own a Honda, I had several, actually. That was in my mom era. And each time when I went to go buy one, they would say, oh, these cars sell themselves. And you'd pretty much walk in there and you knew you were going to buy one, right? You just had to figure out which one was right for you. And, I have to say, if you are interested in a Honda, you really need to take a look at this CR-V hybrid because it's the right size. It's a two-row SUV that has plenty of room. I mean, nice leg room, nice cargo space, and unbelievably good on the mileage. So, and the price, starting price is $31,495. Thank you very much. Now, FYI, some of them are built in Canada. However, the hybrids are not. The hybrids are built in Ohio and in Indiana. So if you get the regular CR-V, you might end up with a tariff issue and it would increase the price. So the best way to go about this, if you are wondering, should I go hybrid or should I go regular CR-V? Go with the hybrid because you're going to get a better deal on the purchase price out the door, but you're also going to get better mileage and you're going to get, save money in the long run.
What kind of mileage does it get, Michelle?
Well, the average is 40. So you get your combined is 40, right? And you're getting in your mid-30s city and highway.
Okay. And that's significantly better than the straight-up non-hybrid CR-V.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Much better. And just a fun fact, on Edmunds, where a lot of people go to look for their cars, the Honda CR-V is the most searched for vehicle. So, and that's because it's the right price. It's a Honda. It's going to last as long as you take good care of it. I know I never had any issues with the Hondas that I owned and sold them to my friends who went on to drive them to 200,000 miles.
Well, that's interesting because iccars.com, where Carl Brower is executive analyst, I just spent the last 2 days of my life writing about the iccars study that stated which cars are more likely to get to 250,000 miles. So it was the top 30 cars, and the CRV was on that list. I was impressed.
Yeah,
I was impressed.
Yeah, the CRV is literally like the sweet spot. It's price, it's flexibility, it's fuel efficiency, it's insurance prices. It's like you can do a whole lot with that car, not as much as a full-size SUV, but a shocking amount, far more than a like a sedan. And yet it doesn't really use that much gas and it doesn't cost that much. And it still kind of handles pretty well. And it's kind of roomy and luxurious inside. It's just, they just have like, it's like those Venn diagrams. And it's just like, they kind of got a piece of everything. And it's all, that car's got all of it.
Yeah, I'd have to say you're right. I drove the top trim level called the Sport Touring, and that is 41,000. And then another 1350 for destination and handling. So it's around 42,450 to get out the door, but it has power tailgate for the moms. I'm sorry, but if they had power tailgate when I was a young mom, I would have gone for that in a minute. Your hands are always full when you have kids. So power tailgate is super important for the mom segment. It's got all kinds of the warnings. The tech is great. I liked the infotainment. I felt that it was really easy to use, easy to pair the phone. It had Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. It had an actual knob and for dialing and for your volume control, but it also was on the steering wheel. So, and that's pretty much universal across all the Hondas. They're all pretty well equipped like that, but it was also very comfortable and it had different drive modes. So, what's wrong here, right? Nothing. Go get one.
It's a good one. It's a good one. And it sounds like you enjoyed your week in that car. And thank you to Honda for loaning it to the car show. On the opposite end, on the absolute opposite end of the SUV, what would you say, spectrum, is a car that both Carl and I drove that is brand new. Carl, why don't you take it away?
Yes, it's the all-new 2025 Lincoln Navigator. And just a real quick history, you know, that was the first vehicle in that category. Like Lincoln likes to brag, and I think they're rightfully bragging, that they invented that category, because in 1998, they threw Lincoln badges and really luxurious interior into an Expedition, basically, and called it the Lincoln Navigator. And everyone, including Jennifer Lopez and her boyfriend at the time, although I guess he's not as popular now, they all loved that car. And then it was 2 years later, there was a big Suburban, or sorry, I think it was a Tahoe. No, it was a Suburban that had an Escalade badge on it as a result. And then all of a sudden, you know, there were all these other, big three row luxury SUVs all over the place because the Navigator had such success. And it really kind of helped the brand too. The brand got a big bonus because there were rap stars driving Navigators around, and it kind of legitimized the brand. So anyways, the new Navigator is still representing its position there very well. Lots of technology, a ginormous 48-inch wide panoramic display right at the base of the windshield that is very cool and very effective. And as I was noting in my story and all, is you hear 48 inches, you're like, how do you see out the car? But it's 48 inches wide, but I don't know if it's more than
It's down pretty low. Yeah. It does not get in your field of vision. And I didn't find it to be distracting either. And I also drove it. You probably drove the Nautilus too last year, Carl, when they first put that 48 inch wide A-pillar screen in there. And it didn't get in the way. It wasn't distracting. It was just kind of cool. I liked looking at it.
It totally works. It's a really good design. And, you know, we're seeing it on Hyundai. Hyundai, they're not that wide, but Hyundai is doing the same thing. They're getting these longer and longer, low display screens, right?
The base Cadillac too, right?
And Cadillac too. I mean, really everyone is going there. You know, we've been watching like the gauge cluster and the center display touchscreen kind of meld together increasingly. And now they're just going to start making these, you know, kind of A-pillar to A-pillar, as you described it, Mark, for the entire display screen. And, you know, you're looking, it's almost like heads up, but it's almost better. You know, heads up is cool, but you can never really see it as well because it's like dim and all, especially if it's bright out. This is like the best of everything. You're barely looking away from the road and you have this big screen, wide screen, but low, that you can easily read stuff off of quickly. And then your eyes can go just above it and you're back on the road. It's a good ergonomic design.
And I was surprised during our drive, my drive, I did not share the car with Carl. This is one of the few times I did not share a car with Carl. I was surprised we were on twisty roads and it actually comported itself well. I mean, it's by no means a sports sedan or anything, but it was not scary. It was predictable. The roll was controlled. You could go. So if you're buying this to go skiing, say, and you have to go up a windy road to get to the ski lift, it'll handle that and it'll do it quite well. The problem, the drawback is they're all over $100,000. So
yeah, the base price is like $101,990, just short of $102,000 with destination charge for the most basic. Now the base model is still pretty well equipped. You really could buy a base model without any concern that you're not going to feel luxurious enough. But I mean, Mark, you saw it, how front row and second row heated, ventilated, and massaging seats. Second row, ventilated and massaging seats. And third row, heated seats when you start getting up into the upper trim levels.
Well, that's luxury. Yeah,
that was luxury, baby. And I did enjoy driving that car. And it sounds like Carl did too. And if you have that kind of money to spend on a car, $100,000, why not donate some of that cash to KPFK? Go to kpfk.org and click on that donate button. It's real easy to do. Michelle has done it. I've done it. Carl Brower probably has done it. If we are all supporting this show, and we need your support for the rest of the, to keep everything going here at KPFK. Like I said, 110,000 watts. Nobody else has 110,000 watts. KPFK does. It is broadcasting from the top of Mount Wilson, and that has taken a lot of electricity. We have to square it up with Southern California Edison, and we need your generous donation to do that. Please do not hesitate to don't assume somebody else is going to do it either. You're sitting there, you're driving your car, you're sitting at home, whatever, wherever you're listening to the sound of my voice, you may just be thinking somebody else will do this and the music will go on. Everything will be cool. Nobody else is going to do this. It's up to you. That's you, Mr. and Mrs. Los Angeles. We need you to make a donation. Go to kpfk.org or call Michelle
818-985-5735.
That's right. 818-985-5735.
And you know what it rhymes with? Keep KPFK alive.
And it rhymes with no jive. And
no jive.
And that's just.
I will survive. Yeah. It reminds
me. I'll survive. See?
Because
of the talent that you get here.
The kind of programming you get on KPFK isn't common. We say what we want. We are unfiltered.
You get this show and all the shows. We are not corporate sponsored. We don't have to please anybody.
Right.
We can say what we want. I just trashed the Genesis concept car. I'll probably never be asked back. No, I'm kidding.
And that's after they sponsored him to go to see the New York Auto Show with them.
So anyway.
So, okay.
We appreciate your help. Stick around for Rhapsody in Black, 2 hours of great music that you never knew you loved. That's coming up next here on KPFK. And we, Michelle and I, and maybe even Carl, will see you next week here on The Car Show.
KPFK is a community-powered platform for bold ideas, local beats, and fearless journalism. No ads, no billionaire owners, just real, independent media sustained by you. We've been on the air 65 years. If you believe in what we do, now's the time to support it. Whether you're renewing your subscription or joining us for the very first time, it starts at a minimum of just $5 a month. Way less than a streaming subscription, but far more impactful. This is a membership drive. I'm Ace Estwick, and I serve on KPFK's local station board. Please call 818-985-5735, then press option 2, or visit kpfk.org and click donate now. Let's build the future together. Something happening, yeah.
Support comes from the Wildgear Theatricum Botanicum in Topanga, presenting a new musical play by Peter Alsop, Ebenezer's Makeover, for Topanga Disaster Relief and LGBTQ plus awareness. It runs two nights only on Friday, May 9th and Saturday, May 10th at 7:30.